And they always have been. The love and abuse of power has built and laid waste great and mighty empires. Such figures as Napoleon and Adolf Hitler tried to conquer the world, but in the end, they bit off more than they could manage. The power of love has distorted the common sense of a person so that they're not able to see the faults and warning signs in the character of the person that they love. And in the end, they suffer the consequences, causing people to use the phrase, love is blind. These forces of power and love shape our lives, our homes, our communities, our country, and our world. In our epistle reading for this morning, we hear from the pen of the Apostle Paul these very same themes of the power of God and the love of God, but from a God-centered focus on these gifts. Let us remember that any gift from God can be misused, twisted, or distorted. But in Ephesians 3, we hear of the love and power of God as God desires to use these gifts for us in a beneficial and positive way. This morning, as we look at Ephesians 3 from this angle, we see how Paul prayed for the church. He's praying for believers in the church at Ephesus, but further than that, wider than that, Paul did pray the same thing for other churches at that time, and he does for us as well. So my first point is that Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Throughout this passage, we hear of Paul as he prays for the church, and we see in this passage how we're to approach God in prayer. We come to God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And all three persons of the Holy Trinity are mentioned in this passage. We hear that Paul says these words in Ephesians 3, 14 through 17. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Apostle Paul is concerned that the Ephesians not be discouraged by Paul's tribulations in Ephesians 3:13. As the Apostle Paul allays their concerns, he says he bows his knee before the Father, that Paul is praying to God the Father. Ephesians 3:15 speaks of every family or clan is descended from one ancestor, and ultimately that God is the Father and the ultimate source of every living being. And so in that sense, through creation, God is the Father of us all because we're all made in God's image. This truth was spoken of in Genesis 1:26, specifically that all humans are made in God's image, whether male or female. And as there is one eternal Father, so the whole of creation formed the one family under the fatherhood of God. As Paul goes on in Ephesians 3:16 and 17, he says and speaks that God the Father would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So when the Apostle Paul speaks of the inner man, he's pointing to the language about the work of the Holy Spirit within the heart of each individual Christian believer. When I say the heart, I'm not talking about the thing that pumps blood. I'm talking about the inner person. Much of the letter to the church in Ephesus addresses the believer's corporate identity, that he or she belongs to that group of people who belong to Jesus Christ. For instance, the Apostle Paul begins with these words in Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul addresses the Ephesian church as a group, the faithful Christians gathered in Ephesus, a worshiping community. In Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, God's people are spoken of as a temple built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. And while such passages as Ephesians 1, 1 and 2, 19 through 22 speak of the people of God as a group, Ephesians 3, 16 speaks of the indwelling Holy Spirit within each individual believer. So Paul prays here for the ongoing renewal of the Holy Spirit in the inner man, in his heart and soul. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, 13, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So God works in us to not only desire, but the power to do what pleases the Lord. That brings me to my second point, is that Paul also prays that we may be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. Ephesians 3:17 speaks of Christ's work in us, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The Reformation Bible Study Bible makes this helpful comment, quote, "The strength and knowledge for which Paul prays for believers are directed toward their love for each other in response to the immeasurable love of Christ for them." We're to be rooted and grounded in love for Christ and one another. The word rooted means to root or cause to take root. And metaphorically, it means to be firmly fixed and strong. The word grounded is mean to lay a foundation. Taken together, these words speak of the need for all Christians, believers, to be strengthened and to continue to grow, to have our roots in the love of God to grow deeper and deeper. Paul goes on to say this in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul wants us to see the grandiose and majestic love of God for us. And he speaks about human measurements, how high, how wide, how deep and how long is God's love for us. As the psalmist says in Psalm 103, 11 and 12, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He wants us to know this immeasurable love of Christ. He's willing to become human, being tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And yes, to suffer and die for our sins and to be raised on the third day for us sinners and for our salvation. Paul says that we might comprehend and know God's love for us. To know and to comprehend is more than just mental awareness of God's love, but it is by trusting in God and his faithful promises, and by allowing and cooperating with the Holy Spirit as he illumines God's word and transforms us, that we may know God's love in a deeper way. Our knowledge of God must be personal and experiential. A personal bond between the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and us, his people. This revelation of God's mercy for us is a gift which God transforms and illuminates, body, soul, and spirit. Ephesians 3:19 speaks of the love of God which surpasses knowledge. The goal of our sanctification is that we may grow and mature and grow deeper. And that means also that we die more and more to sin and live for righteousness. this process of sanctification, which is being more and more conformed to the image of Christ, is accomplished in the working together with God's power and grace in us by the Holy Spirit. The two concluding verses of Ephesians 3 is really the form of a benediction. The word benediction means to speak good of something or of someone, and in this case, Paul prays God's blessing on his people. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:21 indicates that God's glory is the goal and the main point of everything that Paul has expounded in Ephesians 1-3. Believers should live, therefore, to glorify God and to reflect God's glory. May we, as servants of Christ and sons of God, trust more and more in our Lord Jesus Christ and to lean into his redeeming love for us. And may we, by the Holy Spirit, be rooted and grounded in God's love, in the deep, high, long, and wide love of Christ. Christ has come, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. May we live for his honor and glory. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we pray that you would preserve in your church, in us, that apostolic faith, and that your people may continue to be fruitful in every good work and receive the crown of glory that never fades away through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.